Well, this morning, we concluded with the introduction and talked about hearing that is attentive, understood, and obeyed. That was one of the major points we made. We also asked the question, what is it that we are to hear? And of course, obviously, we're to hear the Word of God. And we concluded with a reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, which Evan visited for us again to help us get the ball rolling this evening. We found that this problem did not cease with Jeremiah, but it continued down through the ages. Christ dealt with this problem, warning of false prophets in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Christ rebuked those who would not heed the word of God. In Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 5, the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, notice this now, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. You see that the false prophets just kept on prophesying false things all the way down through the ages. In fact, the apostles also had a problem with this issue. They taught concerning the false teachers and false prophets and false doctrines. In Colossians 2 and verse 8, notice that Paul writes here about anyone cheating you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This was what was going on. And that's amongst the brethren. They were not everybody amongst the brethren were circumspect with regard to the truth. But philosophies were creeping in, and empty deceit, and the teachings and traditions of men, not according to Christ. In Titus chapter 1, beginning of verse 13, Paul says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, notice, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, what did he mean by sound in the faith? Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. This was a problem in the time of the apostles that they had to deal with. And of course, we turn to 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18, where we're talking about those who are teaching false doctrine. And Paul says their message will spread like cancer Notice he likens it to a disease. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. Now, what way did they stray concerning the truth? Here it is. Saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So there were false teachers amongst them that had to be exposed. They had to be made known so that people would avoid them. Now, what about now? What about today? Well, we are taught to test, and we are taught to try various teachers. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, I want you to notice this. John is writing to Christians. He says, "Beloved," that's talking about beloved brethren, "do not believe every spirit." Well, what does he mean by spirit? Well, look carefully. "Test the spirits whether they are of God." Oh, that means the teaching that they're doing doesn't come from God. And what does he say with regard to it? "Many false prophets have gone out into the world." Whenever we have an encounter with someone who's teaching, we have a responsibility to test them. To test them. To make sure that what they're teaching came from God. Now, there is a little bit of a difference, and I want to take time to mention that. A little bit of difference in our time and their time, because they didn't have exposure to the written word that we do today. And sometimes a prophet would come in and start teaching things, and if they did not test this prophet to find out whether he was coming from God or man, and just accepted what he said, they would be led astray. And that was something that was a danger they had to watch for. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, Jesus says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil." Now notice, "And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." This was an ever-present danger that they had to deal with. There were teachers and doctrines that were designed to tickle people's ears and to appeal to their personal desires and many times even worldly desires, and they had to be tested. We have this same task today in our generation. We, first of all, must hear and obey and teach God's word despite the voices and the words of so-called religious leaders, councils, preachers, educators, and such like. We need to have the spirit of the Bereans in their desire to hear the word of God. Notice in Acts 17 and verse 11, speaking of the Bereans now, he says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness." Now, does this mean they were gullible? They just, whatever they, people said, the apostles said? No, it says they searched the scriptures daily. What did they have available to them? Old Testament. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We need to be of the mind of the Bereans. Now, question. Why is there such a great folly of not yielding to the Word of God? We posted this morning that this is what God wants. We are to hear the Word. Well, why is it so crazy? Why don't people want to hear the Word? Don't they realize that God can't lie? I mean, Hebrews 6 and verse 18, so clear. The writer says that by two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. God can't lie. Man can lie. No doubt about it. And man does lie. But notice also, God can save. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Listen, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. God can save. What's the problem? Man can't do it. Man can't do it. In fact, God can destroy in hell. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God can do it, but man cannot. There's no way. Therefore, we see it is essential that we heed the word of the Lord. But you say, well, what are some of the hindrances to hearing the word? Well, the word of the Lord is widely preached. It's widely taught and published. Yet, what is the problem? Well, the problem is that many don't yield to it. Many don't yield to it. In Romans chapter 10, verses 16 through 18, Paul writes, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Well, people just don't want to hear it. That's what it amounts to. Well, what are some of the real reasons behind some of the facts behind this? Well, one of them we see is ignorance. The Jews failed to hear out of ignorance. Romans chapter 10, the first three verses. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They weren't satisfied with God's righteousness. They wanted to establish their own righteousness. In Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Peter says, you denied the Holy One, the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And, well, that wasn't cool. Well, how about that? Oh, here we go. It's good to know that your computer is secure. If you hit the off button, it goes off. Okay. In Acts 3, you denied the Prince of Life and God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that, now listen to this, you did it in ignorance. Why did they kill Christ? It was done in ignorance. As also did your rulers. It was clear to see that their ignorance was not God's fault, though. God had done everything He could to show them that this was the case. But no. Their ignorance was willful. God had committed to them, in fact, the oracles and the law and the prophets. Romans chapter 3. Yeah, there it is. Romans 3, the first two verses. What advantage has the Jew, or what profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Notice, they were committed with the oracles of God. God gave them the law to bring them to Christ. Romans 10 and verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. Not the law's end, but the purpose of the law. For everyone, for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, Galatians 3 and 24, therefore the law was our, what? Tutor to bring us to Christ. The prophets bore witness of Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. And I'm getting carried away here. There we are. Acts 26 and verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day. Okay. I got it. To this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophet Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. It was all told to them. Yet, with all this, they ignorantly rejected the Christ. There it is in Acts 13, 27 through 30. No cause to put him to death. Pilate could have released him. No, wouldn't have it. But God raised him from the dead. Now, let's keep in mind, man's ignorance today is not God's fault either. God has seen to it that His word has been preached to all the world. Now, I made the statement. Now I'm going to show you the proof. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So I have made it my aim, now look, to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Now, what does he say about this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23? If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, now listen, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, this was in Paul's lifetime. Yet he says it was preached to every creature under heaven. God has seen that all things that were necessary for man's salvation were also properly recorded. If you'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, familiar passage of Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, in James chapter 1 and verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, and I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. But there still is such a thing as willful ignorance. That means, I don't know, I don't want to know, please don't tell me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 37 and 38, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, listen, let him be ignorant. Period. That's Paul, not me. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. They willfully forget it. We have to be careful of some who fail to hear God's word because they want to prove or protect a theory. Nothing much worse than a preacher who's got a hobby, because that's all you'll hear from him. Doesn't matter what it is you get into. I remember a preacher one time was told not to do anything but preach the scriptures. So he turned over to Acts 2:38. And he said, Peter told them, repent and be that thing I was told not to talk about, for the remission of your sins. And then he goes over and he pulls the scripture out in Peter and he says, see, the like figure unto which back up, no, that thing I'm not supposed to talk about. Well, you know, that's crazy. because these are all biblical subjects. But what if he gets on a hobby horse and rides it over and over and over again and doesn't teach? Oh, let's see. What does God say about it? It says we have to teach the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God is not one little corner of the... Got to keep that in mind. Some fail to hear the word of God because they are easily deceived. And I think a passage that might be worthy of consideration here is 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, begin with verse 10. Yeah, there we go. Begin with verse 10. Notice, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, notice why. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Listen to verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is where the danger comes in. If we do not have a sincere love of the truth, we could easily be deceived into believing a lie. We need to be sure that we have a true, sincere, deep love for the truth. In Matthew 5 and 6, I forgot that one, but I'll put it up here now. There it is. See right up here, Matthew 5 and 6. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what we need to have, that sincere love for the truth. But some people don't hear the word of God, don't give heed to the word of God because of prejudice. And I'm not talking about racial prejudice or political prejudice or anything else. I'm talking about religious prejudice. And because of religious prejudice, many ears are closed to the Word of God. Prejudice is a preconceived judgment or opinion, the making up of one's mind without regarding the facts. It is often stated, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. Many times we find people resembling the biblical examples of prejudice. We notice a fellow by the name of Naaman in 2 Kings 5, 9 through 11. He had his mind made up that if indeed there was a prophet of God in Israel, that he would go there and give him many gifts, and he would come out and say some fancy words and wave his hands about and heal him. But instead of this, he didn't want anything from him. He said, go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. And Naaman was enraged. He was enraged. Why was he enraged? Prejudice. He had his mind made up. Wouldn't accept any alternatives. Fortunately, he changed his mind. He did. But also the Jews. The Jews to whom Stephen spoke, for instance, were extremely prejudiced. They cried out against Stephen. They covered their ears, threw rocks at him. And there was no changing them. Also, the Jews who heard Paul in Jerusalem in Acts 22 were very prejudiced. But this prejudice, although it ended up in costing Stephen his life, didn't sway Paul one way or the other. He just went right on preaching. But sometimes people have willful ignorance because they think there's sufficient time to change. Yeah, I know that Bible stuff is all real interesting, and I like to read my Bible every once in a while. But I don't want to get too serious about it because, you know, hey, I'm young. Got a lot of things to do. A lot of wild oats to sow. And I'll get serious about it whenever I get closer to the hoary head. But the Bible warns about not waiting till tomorrow. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Notice, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I had all kinds of plans. I planned on going and picking up my trailer. I got my hitch all straight in the back of my pickup truck. Cleaned the garbage out of the back of the truck and got it all straight and nice. I'd been up and down several times. And I came down that last time. And somebody moved the bottom step. I don't know. Don't know who. But somebody moved it. And after banging my head on the concrete, I realized that I had to get to the repair facility pretty soon. Fortunately, Danelle got me there. But you can't boast about tomorrow. I mean, you can be in the very best of health, but you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I didn't plan on laying in a hospital emergency room for 3 days or 2 days, I guess it was. I didn't plan on flying a helicopter down to UCLA. It was fun. But I didn't plan on that. But so it came. And that's what James is trying to tell us in James 4. He said, come now, you would say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city. And we'll spend time there and buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Now, listen to this last part. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's it. But that kind of makes me think here. Is it possible that you would heed God's word if you knew for sure that your death was only an hour away? I'll be honest. I think most people would say, well, if I knew it was only an hour away, I'd surely do something about it. Well, let's try this one then. How do you know that that's not the case? there's none of us here that know. None of us. Those who have removed these hindrances hear the word of the Lord. And they hear that being responsible human beings who have sinned, that we are under a death sentence. That's right. We're under a death sentence. And unless you hear and obey God's word, the sentence will be carried out. That, notice the words of Paul in Romans 8. Therefore now are no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We hear Christ's invitation. We hear Christ's plea for man to be saved. In Matthew chapter 11, there it is, Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's the word of God. That's God's word. But is that all there is to it? Well, no. Coming means complying with the terms. And we hear God's plan of salvation laid out for us in such places as Mark 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, 3 through 5, you do not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him in baptism into death, that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, surely we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. But is that all there is to it? Well, no, that's not all there is to it. Because we need to hear God's approved manner of life. And just exactly what is that? Well, 1 Timothy 4, 12 and verse 16 said, Paul wrote Timothy and said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith and in purity." And then verse 16, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing, you'll save yourself and those who hear you." To the gospel preacher Titus, Paul wrote in the second chapter, verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, That's the manner of living our life that we need to live. But there's also contained in this a call to duty. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." John chapter 4 and verse 35, "Do not say, 'There are still 4 months, then comes the harvest.' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest." That's why we read 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're given encouragement in our labors. "Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord." And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed in my presence, or have you obeyed not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Hearing the word of the Lord means hearing the promises to the faithful and the warnings to the disobedient. In Romans chapter 2, 6 through 10, God's going to render to everyone according to their deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Bring in Revelation 2 and 10. "Do not fear any of the things you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, that you may have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The question we need to ask ourselves today is, have I heeded the word of God? Have I removed every hindrance? Have I truly sought out what I need to do to be in the chosen? And remember that the chosen are few. Why do you wait to get your life right before God? Why is it that you turn your back on God again day after day? One day those words will not be heard. What then? What then?